Psalm 90 is written by Moses. That's in your superscription. Those are part of the actual original texts that come down to us. The numbering, the little title that's put in there by your translator, those are added by people who are trying to help make things look clearer to you. But the superscription is part of the original text, and so we know that this was a prayer of Moses. That pushes the date of this psalm 500 years earlier than those of David that we've been studying, or Asaph, who lived around 1000 B.C. So Moses was more like 1500 B.C., which then, of course, makes this psalm about 3,500 years ago for us, which is a long time, but it's eternal truth, so it's as fresh as today. Well, that makes Psalm 90 the oldest psalm in the Bible. We don't know of any others that were written by Moses. Perhaps they were, but they aren't named that, so we don't know. And again, Psalm 90 verses 1 and 2 begin with this anchor point that we are under the protection of God. He's the one who's watching over us. And so as Moses gets ready to tell you his story, as he gets ready to sort of pour out his heart about what's going on in his world, he's also saying, but I know this. I know where my anchor lies. I know who my hope is. I know where my trust rests, and it rests in this perfecting God who lives from eternity to eternity. So that's his base point. He says, I want you to understand that while I pour out the sorrows of my heart, I am not moved away from my conviction that I can trust God for everything. He is the reliable one. He is the one that I look to. And so it is a psalm based on life lessons. So let's move to Roman numeral 2 in your notes, and where he begins this journey on the brevity of life. He begins that in verse 3. He said, you return mankind to the dust, saying, return, descendants of Adam, for in your sight 1,000 years are like yesterday that passes by, and a few hours of the night. You end their lives, they sleep, they are like grass that grows in the morning. In the morning it sprouts and grows, and by evening it withers and dries up. And so the Lord is, or Moses is reminding us that there is a brevity to the nature of our life. That things like death are so routine that we adjust our way of thinking, and when someone has died at an old age, we say, well, they lived a good long life, and we console ourselves that they made 70, 80, 90 years, 100 years. But that was never the design that God had. His intentions were that life would last forever. He built it that way. And so there is this requirement, I guess, that we just recognize that. And he says, you return man to the dust, saying, return, descendants of Adam. And he compares all of this to the brevity of life itself. He even uses the example, like grass that grows in the morning. In the morning, it sprouts and grows, and by evening, it withers and dries up. You've seen grass that in the morning when you walk on it, it's wet with dew. But by that same day, later in the day, from the hot sun, it's been dried up and it's crunchy under your feet. Its period is over. Well, what is Moses talking about here? It's helpful to us that we know Moses wrote this, because now it puts for us in context what it is that he's dealing with. So if you need to remember a little bit of the story of Moses, Moses was the man who led the nation of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. God said to Moses, I want you to go and set my people free. And so as Moses obeyed God, he went to Egypt, and Pharaoh resisted him. And so we know that there were 10 plagues that were brought down until finally the Egyptians caved and they let the people go. We also know that as the people left, they came up to the shore of the Red Sea, and Pharaoh thought to himself, they're trapped, I'm going to have my vengeance after all. And as his troops came, God by reason that a lifespan was 70 years, or if by reason of strength, 80 years. Well, I'm going with the 80. I don't know about you. There are those who are past 80, who are living on grace. It's real easy for you to count the days. Every day is a new day. And every day is one more shot, one more chance. But I did. You know, you can go online and find these date calculators. You just go from today to the day I turn 80. And it's exactly 3,524 days. Now, what am I supposed to do with that? Well, one of the things that I'm supposed to do is to realize that every time I do that, it gets smaller. I mean, consistently. I looked at this from several years ago, and it's quite a bit smaller than it was then. That time marches on. And the Lord says to us, if we'll stop and think about the brevity of life, if we'll realize the limitation on the amount that we've got, then our prayer is, Lord, let me live that wisely. Let me make it count. I am persuaded as I look at Scripture and as I've been now going these 70 years, that when I look at what God's all about, He's about people. He's about lives. I mean, we're told about some spectacular structures in the Bible. We're told about Herod's temple. That was the temple that Jesus was in. And the Temple Mount is still there. It's very, very large. But the temple itself is gone. In AD 70, the Roman general Titus came in under instructions from Rome to take this thing down, and he did. There was not one stone left on another. He chucked them all over the hill, and the thing got burned out. But that temple had actually replaced the grandeur of Solomon's temple prior to that. So Solomon had built a majestic temple that his father David had stockpiled all kinds of resources. It was spectacular. Gone. Not a trace of it. Prior to that was the tabernacle that Moses had built in accordance with the instructions from the Lord in Exodus. And not a trace of that. In fact, there's probably one thing that everybody wishes that they could have held on to, which is that Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat above it. No idea what happened to that. All the things in the Bible that are buildings or material things, it's just like they only are there for a season and then they're gone and nobody knows where they went. But when you come to the lives, oh my goodness, do the stories ring. There's stories in there about Moses and Joshua, stories about Abraham, stories about Daniel and the Gideon and David. Stories that leap off the pages as they fill us with the awe and the wonder of what it is that God does in a life. Because lives live forever. That's His plan. His plan is to keep them with Him. So I think that there are some takeaways we have from this. Let's look at verse 13 and Roman numeral 3. Lord, how long? Turn and have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your faithful love so that we may shout with joy and be glad all of our days. Make us rejoice for as many days as you have humbled us, for as many years as we have seen adversity. So he says, first of all, we live in joy when we live with God. So we make that our priority. I mean, I love when we come together to sing. When Sue and I first came to Christ, it was my last year of school, of college, and my roommate had led me to Christ, trust our future.